Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this day back in which year that Billy Joel received his high school diploma? Hint, Billy Joel was born on May the 9th, 1949. So which year did he likely receive his high school diploma? Sort of a math question here was. So was it A, 1965, B, 1976, C, 1981, or D, 1992? So the piano man born in 49, high school diploma in which year? And question number two. When and where did Elvis Presley perform his final concert? Was that A, 1970 in Memphis, Tennessee? Was it B, 1977 in Indianapolis, Indiana? Was it C, 1980 in Charlotte, North Carolina? Or was it D, 1987 in Mobile, Alabama? So when and where did Elvis last perform? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of June 24th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1840 that Belgian pianist, composer, and arranger Louis Brassens was born. Brassens was perhaps best known for his piano transcriptions of Wagner's The Ring Cycle. Brassens, born on this day back in 1840. And it was 18 years ago today, 2004, that Eric Clapton raised about $7.5 million for a drug addiction center he set up in the Caribbean. The items that were sold were the quote-unquote Blackie Stratocaster that Clapton played from 1970 to 85 for $1 million, a 1964 Cherry Red Gibson for $847,000, and a 1939 Martin Acoustic that Clapton played on his quote-unquote Unplugged album went for $800,000. All three sales were records for a guitar sale, a Gibson guitar, and a Martin guitar, respectively. Clapton's Charity Guitars, 2004, today. And in country, folk, and bluegrass music news, we have this article titled, A Bluegrass Shindig. And this is in Laurel Hill, North Carolina. The article is published in Our State Magazine, July 2022. Johnny Pate called John Gibson, a former farmer from Scotland County, with the proposition. He wanted to buy Gibson's 1950s tractor shed and move it to a spot across from Pete's grocery store on McFarland Road. "What in the world are you going to do with it?" Gibson asked. Pete explained that he wanted to transform it into a performance venue for the band he was in at the time, the McFarland Road Bluegrass Band. "I'll tell you what," Gibson said. "You take it down and move it. You send me $200, and when you clean up after yourselves, I'll send you $100 back." So in 1999, with the help of the community, the shed was moved piece by piece to its current location. Everyone pitched in. One friend volunteered his forklift, a second donated telephone poles to be used as support beams, and a third added sides and a stage. Local cloggers who wanted a place to dance together installed a dance floor, too. Although the Pick and Shed started out as simply a place to play music, it has, over the years, become a beloved community gathering place. It's hosted two weddings, countless receptions, and a fundraising event to buy a handicapped accessible van for Pete's grandson. But as the photos of regulars that line the walls attest, most people just came to jam. This article is written by Rachel Malman, and if you want more information, go to the Picking Shed, Crossroads of McFarland and Marston Roads, or go to facebook.com/Red Bluff Ramblers. And in classical music news, we have this article titled, "Pomp and Circumstance. Familiar Standard Marches Ahead of Competitors." This is written by Miles Hoffman, published in NPR.org on the 27th of May, 2003. Pomp and circumstance. It's hard to imagine a graduation without it. Music commentator Miles Hoffman stops by Morning Edition to discuss the famous processional and other marches in this season of commencement exercises and weddings. Sir Edward Elgar composed Pomp and Circumstance. The title comes from a line in Shakespeare's Othello, "Pride, pomp, and circumstance of glorious war," in 1901. But it wasn't originally intended for graduations. Elgar's march was used for the coronation of King Edward VII. It first became associated with graduations in 1905, when it was played when Elgar received an honorary doctorate from Yale University in 1905. But it was played as a recessional, not as a processional, at the ceremony. After Yale used the tune, Princeton used it, the University of Chicago, and Columbia. Hoffman tells NPR's Bob Edwards, "Then eventually everybody started using it. It just became the thing that you had to graduate to." What was played as a processional at the Elgar ceremony was the Reblase overture by Felix Mendelssohn, but Hoffman suggests it may not strike some as a graduation theme. "I'm not sure I can actually hear or feel the tassels waving there in the breeze," Hoffman says. But if you've heard of Pomp and Circumstance, there are several terrific alternative marching tunes, he says. For example, Henry Purcell's march from The Married Beau, a sort of special procession, but it's a great piece. Or a selection from Hector Berlioz with the unfortunate title of The March to the Scaffold. Perfect if the graduates know that they will be unemployed, Hoffman says. De Leeb's Flower Duet introduces our music research and technology. As noted in an article titled Summer Solstice and Winter Solstice and Its Effect to Our Body's Natural Rhythm, published in Cheball.com. The June solstice arrived this week in the Northern Hemisphere. On this solstice, the sun does not rise precisely in the east, but rises to the north of east and sets to the north of west, meaning it's visible in the sky for a longer period of time. In many places around the world, the summer solstice represents the beginning of summer, which could have several tangible health benefits, including better sleep and a more positive mood. This may be because the additional sunlight helps to regulate our internal clock, known as circadian rhythm. On the other hand, during winter solstice, between December 21 or 22, we will have the shortest days and longest nights in the Northern Hemisphere. To put it simply, the lack of sunlight could definitely take a toll on your snooze time. Everyone heard of the winter blues, but there's real science behind why this time of year has you feeling bummed out a lot of the time. During this time of the year, your brain's serotonin level, feel-good neurotransmitter that our body produces, are largely affected by the amount of exposure we get to daylight. So when the days start getting significantly shorter, and there's a limited amount of sunshine, your serotonin levels can drop, causing you to feel a little moody and melancholy. In effect, the solstices have been shown to be associated with human moods and emotions, and in turn, on our music and reflections on nature. Music festivals are devoted to the summer solstice, and writers muse about our relation to nature. One Zen saying notes, for example, that if you love a flower, don't pick it up, because if you pick it up, it dies, and it ceases to be what you love. So if you love a flower, let it be. Love is not about possession. Love is about appreciation. And in rock and pop music news, we have this article entitled, Grammys Add New Categories, Including Songwriter of the Year. The Recording Academy is also adding awards for Best Spoken Word Poetry Album, Alternative Music Performance, Americana Music Performance, and Score Soundtrack for Video Games and Other Interactive Media. This is published in HollywoodReporter.com on the 9th of June, 2022, Associated Press. The Grammys are adding a special Song for Social Change award and five new categories, including Songwriter of the Year, giving the Recording Academy an avenue to honor music's best composer. The Academy announced Thursday that the new non-classical songwriter category will recognize one individual who was the most prolific non-performing and non-producing songwriter for a body of new work during an eligibility year. The category has taken a different approach than Song of the Year, which awards the songwriter or songwriters who wrote the lyrics or melodies to one song. This new category is truly for an expert person at the songwriting craft. Songwriters must have written a minimum of 5 songs in which they are credited solely as a songwriter or co-writer. Somebody who writes their own music and records it would not be eligible. They would have to be doing songs for others. We want to highlight the craft of writing songs professionally for artists. Songwriters are at the heart of our business and industry. Nothing happens without songwriters. For us, this was a no-brainer. It's in alignment with all the changes. We thought, how can we do more? Showcase more people, and be more inclusive to different genres. The new category is another huge step for songwriters. The 4 other categories include Best Spoken Word Poetry Album, Alternative Music Performance, Americana Music Performance, and Score Soundtrack for Video Games and Other Interactive Media. The Academy created a special merit award that determines Best Song for Social Change. The award will be based on lyrical content that addresses a timely social issue and promotes understanding, peace building, and empathy. It's always the right time to recognize music that's changing the world, he said. I think it deserves a special recognition. These songs are important and impactful. We want to make sure we're honoring and celebrating that art form. This is a great way to do that.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind.
And in local music news, we have this article titled, The Sound of Old Salem. This is written by Robin Sutton Anders in Our State Magazine, July 2022. For 250 years, music has filled the cobblestone streets of the Old Salem Historic District in Winston-Salem. This summer, the band that's played everything from Moravian hymns and polkas to rock and roll covers celebrates its historic milestone with their community. Eileen Young lowers her baton and turns to face the audience. Framed by the stand of cedars in the heart of historic Old Salem, the Salem Band's conductor introduces their next piece, a crowd favorite polka version of the beloved Moravian hymn, Morning Star. The sounds of woodwinds, brass, and percussion rise and fill the air. It's a joyful song, a celebration of the band's Moravian heritage that dates back to 15th century Europe. This band is 250 years old. The Salem Band is a community band, which means that it's more than 70 musicians are mostly amateurs. By day, they are teachers, doctors, students, barbers, nurses, retirees, you name it. But on Tuesday nights, you'll find them at band practice. Imagine Salem in 1771 when the band got its start, Young says. These Moravians are here in the middle of nowhere. They've planned, built, and established the town of Salem out of nothing. Life was rustic, but traditional Moravian hymns lifted their spirits, just as music had for those who'd come before them, the way it does for all of us. The people of Salem found a musical society and began collecting instruments, mostly trombones at first. Back then, it probably wasn't called a band. They would get together and play preludes before major services or church festivals. They'd play for funerals, accompanying the hymns sung at gravesides. They'd go to people's houses and play for them on their birthdays. When George Washington visited in 1791, they serenaded him on his way into town. The Salem Band has never been stuffy. They've always realized how important music is for entertainment. That's why even today, everything, marches, rock music, show tunes, is included in our concerts. This season, the Salem Band commemorates its 250th anniversary with an 8-part concert series, culminating with a performance in Salem Square in early August. The shows are open to the public, part of the band's mission to provide free entertainment for the community. The Moravians' commitment to pacifism was tested in 1831 when early rumblings of a civil war spread throughout the state. North Carolina's legislature revoked the Moravians' exemption from duty. No longer would their belief in pacifism spare them from a draft to fight for their state. It was explained that the men decided to form their own militia with their own elected officers so they'd have a better chance of staying together. Flash forward to the 1860s when the young nation was torn apart by war. Salem band members knew from nearly 100 years of playing together that music has the power to unite people. They didn't fight with weapons. They healed with song. Every regiment in the state had a band, and the majority of Salem's instrumentalists formed the noted North Carolina 26th Regimental Band. The article skips down, ends with this. Back in Salem Square, Young raises her baton again. The audience is ready. They know this one. Some have heard it from the band. Others learned it at church. Still others sang it with loved ones. Young's baton sweeps down, and the band begins to play. The crowd joins in, their shared music rising to the stars above. The Salem Band will perform on July 4th and 19th and August 9th in Old Salem. For more information, visit salemband.org. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our second question, when and where did Elvis Presley perform his final concert? Was it A, 1970 Memphis, Tennessee? Was it B, 1977 Indianapolis, Indiana? Was it C, 1980 Charlotte, North Carolina? Or was it D, 1987 Mobile, Alabama? Correct answer? Answer B. Elvis Presley performed his final concert on this very day back in 1977 in Indianapolis. As noted by Tom Eames in smoothradio.com, 16 August 2019, the King's last concert was held at the Market Square Arena in Indianapolis on June 26, 1977. It was in front of a crowd of just 18,000. Can't Help Falling in Love was the closing song of his last concert set list. While Elvis was overweight and pale at this point in his life, he still appeared on form and put on a great show. Apparently, the only strange occurrence during the show was that Elvis introduced nearly everyone from his life on stage. Elvis Presley died less than a month later at the age of 42. The final song Elvis performed in private was apparently a version of Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, played on his piano in Graceland just hours before his death. And the answer to our first question, it was on this day back in which year that Billy Joel received his high school diploma. And I gave as a hint that Billy Joel was born in May of 1949. So which year did he receive his high school diploma? Was it A, 1965, B, 1976, C, 1981, or D, 1992? Correct answer? Answer D, 1992. Turns out that 25 years earlier, back in 67, Billy Joel had overslept and missed his English and gym finals. Diploma finally arrived and was earned on this very day, back in June of 1992. As noted in calendar.songfacts.com, unlike the honorary degrees Joel gets from Fairfield University, Berklee College of Music, Hofstra University, Southampton College, and Syracuse University, he actually has to work for this one, as Hicksville High makes him send in samples of his work to fulfill his requirements. With his work deemed satisfactory, he puts on a gown and joins the 305 members of the class of 1992 at the graduation ceremony where he receives his diploma. Joel speaks at the ceremony and says, quote unquote, "Well, here I am, Mom. I'm actually going to get my high school diploma, and it's only 25 years after everyone else got theirs. But, Mom, don't worry. I can finally pull myself out of this dead-end job I have and start working on a career with a real future." He goes on to offer some advice to his fellow classmates. Don't rush blindly into some convenient job that you will hate in a few years. Don't make a lot of logical, tidy, sensible plans right away. Why not kick back for a few weeks and give yourselves a long, sweet summer of love? So let's close out today's program with a dedication to everyone, including the piano man, to accepting people for just the way they are, high school diploma or not.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information, or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.
I just want someone that I can talk to. I want you just the way.